Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
All right, let's bring the gang in. Let's start with our main man, Pat O'Brien, Highlands Grove, Montoursville, in the second game of the season. Pat, back, great to have you all.
It's always great to check in with you, Steve. Appreciate it. Week two is unbelievable. We're moving quickly already.
Yeah, I'm moving quickly, and it's now September, which is great, Pat. Pat, what did you learn about what you saw last week? What's an area maybe the coaching staff wants to tighten up?
Wow, that's a great question. They played a team they were much better than. They talking to Derek Hicks this week. He said there were some assignments, especially on the defensive side, that were some breakdowns, that guys got to be a little sharper, a little more disciplined. They were playing a team they were much better than, so they could kind of pin their ears back and just go. But when you're going to play a team like Montoursville, got to be a little more disciplined, got to stay in your gaps and not give up opportunities that a good quarterback like Messina will take advantage of. So just some discipline stuff that Derek mentioned during the interview.
They were able to play a lot of people, obviously, last week because of the situation. How invaluable has that been the last couple of years when they've been in a situation like that, Pat, that they've been able to play extra people and then have the benefit be a year later?
Well, it's amazing. I mean, Ryan Brandt and I have been covering them. This is our eighth season of covering Selins Grove, and it happens almost on a yearly basis where you end up seeing some young kids get an opportunity and they flourish. And next thing you know, they're moving into some more playing time. And then late in the season, they're getting some real big opportunities. And like you said, Steven, then when you go into the off season, they've got an abundance amount of confidence. And then the following year, they are just ready to step in. And I think that's happening with these kids now who are the starters from last year's team. You know, they got up big leads. They were able to get in and good, valuable time. And, boy, they're just moving in. I don't think the stage is too big for them because they've seen it. They've been there, and they really took advantage of it last week in the opener. A lot of them for the first time.
Montoursville can fling it. They can score, right? We could talk about what the defense needs to do against them and him. But what kind of responsibility is there on the offense actually to go toe-to-toe on the scoreboard?
That's the big unknown, and last week didn't really necessarily help us out to understand that real well because, again, you know, they were playing a team that they were just much better than. They had twice the amount of kids on a hot Friday night. They got to play a lot of kids, so they dominated them. But Selins Grove also scored on a special teams touchdown, on a fumble recovery for a touchdown. So there was a lot of different things going on. But, you know, I'm looking forward to that dynamic because it's going to be a great quarterback matchup. Logan Leiby, the junior quarterback, going against Bryson Messina. And you're right, Messina throws it all over the place. And Logan Leiby for Selins Grove will do the same thing if need be. But they did look very good. They were very sharp against an opponent that didn't push back too much. But it's still very important for them to be sharp. They only had four penalties throughout the entire game, so that part of it was real sharp. So, you know, it's going to be interesting just with new receivers with a very experienced quarterback, and this week is really going to show us a lot.
Pat, good luck. Another great broadcast for you and Brian coming up on Ryan Brandt, I should say, at Eagle 107 tomorrow night. Looking forward to it very much.
Thanks, Steve, and you enjoy your opener as well.
Thank you, Pat.
Yep.
All right, let's get to Shikellamy and Mount Carmel. Mike Ferlazzo. Mike, welcome. Great to have you back.
Steve, it's good to be back.
Just before we get into a couple things, obviously Pat O'Brien's got Selins Grove, Montoursville. You had Montoursville last week, so what scouting report would you give to Pat O'Brien about that game?
Well, I'll tell you, Montoursville and J.C. Kiefer, they still, first and foremost, want to run the football. I mean, Bryson Messina, a talent there at quarterback, as you know. He's got it in the genes, you know, being the son of Mike Messina. And he did throw for two touchdowns last week and obviously has some good receivers out there, too. But he was a little careless with the ball last week, Steve. And I will say, you know, maybe that, you know, being a senior with the big arm, he took a few chances. But he threw three interceptions last week. Probably could have had another one before the game was out. But, you know, where Montoursville really impressed me last week was they lined up with an all-new offensive line, and they were able to run it right down the throat of that Shikellamy defense where their front eight was supposed to be their strength. And in the first half, it was all Montoursville. It was 17-0 at halftime, and they had 16 first downs to Shikellamy's one. So it could have been a lot worse if it weren't for some turnovers. Now, in the second half, much different story, and that's what gives Shikellamy a lot of hope this week, is the Braves really turned that around, and it almost came all the way back. I mean, they were stopped on a 4th-and-1 at the Montoursville 5 late in the ball game. Otherwise, maybe could have won that game, but fall 25-20. But, you know, Montoursville is really good once again, and Mussina obviously makes them go.
Right, you talked about Shikellamy now. I'll go with what I asked Pat, and that is, what did you like in Shikellamy in the opener? Where can they be better?
Well, where they can be better is along both sides of the line. I have to tell you, up front, and a good start, let's just put it that way, because, again, first half was not a good start for Shikellamy, and made some adjustments and obviously got some things going in the second half. And really the big thing offensively for them is they get those skill position players. They feel like they've got some good team speed. Get them out in open space and allow them to use that speed. In the second half, they were able to do that. Sophomore Joey Folk from his halfback position got a couple scores. And also senior halfback Lamir Mitchell was able to score a touchdown in the second half. They were able to get some time also for junior quarterback Tate Krankowski, and he was able to throw for 132 yards. So, you know, they got some things going, some continuity in the second half. And while the defense didn't play well in the first half, they really were opportunistic. They did force 5 turnovers, and in the second half, in 2 cases, Gabe Tilford, the son of the coach from the linebacking position, just ripped the ball away from one of the Montoursville players. And likewise, the same was true of Pearson White from an outside linebacker position on a first down play as well. So, the defense was much more aggressive in the second half. And, you know, maybe, Steve, and I think I saw this across high school football last week, that game kind of symbolized the early preseason or the short preseason, if you will, with just one scrimmage. And it really seemed like Shikellamy was trying to get itself figured out, really, through the first half. And by the second half, they had it. And we certainly hope so, because they'll take some momentum into that game with Mount Carmel this week.
Right, no question. What kind of read do you have on Mount Carmel from your own research and from the coaches?
Well, it's a different kind of attack. They run the shotgun wing, Steve. So it's a kind of a contemporary version of the wing, the old single wing, if you will. And head coach John Dara feels like that's the way to go with his team. And you know, to make that happen, the guy that the ball is getting snapped to on that shotgun, your quarterback has got to be pretty special. And I think they feel like they have that right now with sophomore John Ayers, who, by the way, was never a quarterback until last season. Coach Dara told me he was a running back coming in. They needed to play him last year as a freshman. They had low numbers, and they needed a quarterback, so he stepped in there, but was really just a runner. Well, he's really worked on his game in the offseason. Now can add that dual threat, and he showed it last week as he threw for 133 yards and 3 touchdowns, including the game winner from 8 yards out in overtime, and then he also ran for a game-high 122 yards and 2 scores and 26 carries. So he's a real athlete, and this shotgun wing is really awfully tough to prepare for in 1 week. And by the way, as good as our game was last week, theirs was better against Loyal Sock. They won 42-41 in overtime, coming back from a 27-7 deficit in the third quarter.
We understand, Mike, that you went to do the game and didn't have all the equipment, and that actually fell on the responsibility of Wally Pipp, who was supposed to put it in there.
I don't know who the responsibility was.
We know whose responsibility it was. Sean, tell him.
Let's just say, I just told Mike before we went on air, you've got an orange spool next to your box here in the hallway, so you're set for tomorrow night.
I'm telling you right now, Wally Pipp's a little worried.
I tell you what, I didn't think I needed an extension cord. We were going to Montoursville. That's my alma mater. I did their game 3 years ago, and I thought I'd be in the press box, but they put me outside, so I needed an extension cord. And thankfully, Todd Bartley was there for our good folks at ESPN waiting for to help us out.
Yeah, Todd's a good man. Oh, jeez. I'm telling you right now, I'm not surprised that the word sabotage came up. Mike, thanks so much. We look forward to your broadcast on News Radio 1070 WKOK tomorrow night at 6:30.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. I look forward to your broadcast on Saturday as well.
Thanks, Mike. All right, Lewisburg is going to be taking on Central Columbia, and George Wetzel in studio with us, or excuse me, Greg Wetzel in studio with us. Hi, Greg. How you doing today?
Great, Steve. How are you doing?
Good, Greg. All right, so, Greg, same story, same question I asked both Pat and Mike. You know, in the opener, what did you like and what needs to be better?
I love the freshman quarterback. Did he have a great night? No. But that's what you're going to get with a freshman quarterback. He was 10 for 19, two touchdowns, 156 yards. He showed signs of brilliance, but he was under pressure all night. They were rushing 7-8 guys. Near the end of the first half, there was a 3rd-and-3 in Lewisburg's, about Lewisburg's 35-yard line. We're thinking, okay, there's a minute to go. Let's run the ball, get in the halftime, straighten things out. It was 7-6 Lewisburg at the time. He steps up in the pocket, avoids the rush, steps up in the pocket, throws a dart to Trey Delbaugh. Perfect pass. I mean, there was like a foot window, Steve, for this ball to get in. It was there. Trey Delbaugh caught it for a 34-yard gain. Next play, same thing. He avoids the rush. He gets hit, drops back from that, rolls to his left, finds Dylan Farinato wide open in the end zone for a touchdown. And those two plays just showed the ability that this kid has. What they need to work on? Offensive line blocking and defensive pressure, containing the quarterback. Those were the two big things. The offense and defensive line has to improve for them to have a successful program.
Well, Greg, if you're going to have some success offensively, if you're having some line issues, a quarterback with mobility obviously can be an equalizer for you. Does he have that?
He does have some mobility. The problem is this. He's 6'2", about 210. Eighth graders, when he played eighth grade last year, they would bounce off him.
Right.
High school seniors don't bounce off of him. And that's what he's got to learn, that he has to step up in the pocket. Instead of trying to avoid that rush and running away from it, he needs to step up in the pocket, trust his lineman, step up in that pocket, and make the throw.
Sometimes when you have really good wide receivers, it also translates in two-way football to having them be very good defensive backs. What kind of secondary does Lewisburg have?
Overall, it's a good secondary. They had two breakdowns the other night against Hughesville that led to two big pass plays. One was a touchdown, and the other one was a 3rd-and-long situation, and they had a completion for about 35 yards for a first down. Hughesville was running a lot of motion. Again, I think with the one scrimmage, it hurt them not being able to pick up and make adjustments to that. It was tough for the coaches to convey that to the kids, you know, in the second half. But overall, the defense played well. They did a nice job overall against Hughesville because they did. They ran a lot of motion, a lot of deception in their offense, and Lewisburg held them down pretty well for the night.
It's interesting. You're the second one, Greg, to mention only the one scrimmage. And that it played a role. You're the second announcer to mention that in this round table. How concerned are they about just having one now?
You know, the Lewisburg coach isn't concerned at all. To him, it's no big deal. It's not an issue. As an old coach, to me, it was an issue. Because of adjustments, seeing things that Hughesville was doing that they couldn't make the adjustment to until they got in at halftime, Lewisburg had a huge penalty because they had too many men on the field. I think those are all things that can be taken care of in that second scrimmage. You know, special teams. Lewisburg had difficulty one time with the punt, with a bad snap. Extra point, same thing. There was a breakdown, an extra point. They had an extra point blocked. Those are things I think that the second scrimmage could really benefit a team with.
Greg, give me a thumbnail on Central Columbia.
Central Columbia is a team that doesn't make mistakes. They love to run the ball. They have a running back, Isaac Gensmer, who ran the ball 23 times last week for 134 yards. They don't throw the ball a lot. The quarterback, Aaron Farver, only completed 2 out of 10 passes last week, but for 2 touchdowns. So he's efficient when he throws the ball. They have a free safety that he's a good football player. His name's Evan Williams. He had two interceptions last week against Mifflinburg, and that helped turn the game around. They don't beat themselves. They're a team that just doesn't beat themselves. They got behind Mifflinburg by 13 points early, stayed with their game plan, and came back and won the game 21-20.
All right, Greg. Hey, thanks so much. Good luck with the broadcast tomorrow night at 109 The Valley. It'll be another great one, I'm sure. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, Greg will join us. And again, it's a great lineup tomorrow night. Got Lewisburg and Central Columbia on 100.9 The Valley. You also will have Chicago, Mount Carmel on News Radio. WWKOK, Montoursville and Sealands Grove on Eagle 107. Now on Eagle 107, it will start at 6, kickoff at 7, and on 100.9 The Valley, and also on WKOK, it'll start at 6:30. That's what we have tomorrow. And of course, Milton is always on WMLP. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. Ty Linder, play-by-play voice, Kent State, next half hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.